In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel gives me the opportunity to preach on something that is really impressive to me, that really touches home. One of my favorite topics is where Christ commands us to love our enemies, to do good to those who persecute us. It's easy to love our friends, to love those who do good to us, but to love somebody who hates us, somebody who's out to get us, somebody who's out to destroy us, to love that individual is what God has commanded us to do. And it's not an easy thing to do. And so our Lord has prepared many ways for us to examine this. And today's Gospel, this parable, gives us an opportunity to consider another aspect. And just to put this in context, St. Peter has just asked our Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times. St. Peter thinks he's being very generous. And our Lord says, no, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And of course, all the commentators tell us that means every time you must forgive your brother. I'm reminded each time we say the Our Father, we pray and beg God, forgive me exactly in the same measure that I forgive all my enemies. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And now if we consider today's Gospel, the parable that our Lord's presented, each one of us is terribly in debt to God. How many times have we offended God? How many times have we sinned and built up this terrible debt? We are really unjust servants. And what are we going to do when He calls us to account? How many times has our conscience stung us? And we've come to God in prayer, we've come to God in the sacrament of penance. Lord, forgive me this terrible debt that I owe you. I know I owe it. Just have patience. I'll do penance. I'll mortify myself. I'll amend my life. I'll change. And God in His grand mercy says, I forgive you. Your sins are washed away. Go in peace and sin no more. Our debt is greater than a man who owed 10,000 talents. This humongous debt that we've incurred, which by all means, we deserve hell. But God in His infinite mercy, He says, I forgive you. I'm going to save you from hell because I love you. And then, no sooner do we have this great debt taken away from us, we go out into the world and we find somebody who said something bad against us or cheated us or lied about us. And we're ready to seek vengeance, justice. And we haven't the slightest idea of what justice is. Anger takes hold, and we're going to make this other person pay. And they're going to pay until I stop feeling pain, until I get my satisfaction. And what's our Lord going to do? He's going to call us back and say, you wicked servant, I forgave you your whole debt. Can't you forgive your fellow man? Can't you forgive those who have offended you? Because you would not forgive your fellow man, I will no longer forgive you. And the frightening part that I used to contemplate as just a small boy, he says, he hands this man over to the torturers until the debt should be paid. I'm thinking, how's he ever going to pay this debt if he's just being tortured? And obviously, it's never going to be paid, is it? Those who are handed over to the torture are handed over to the devils, and they will be tortured for all of eternity because the debt can never be paid. No matter how much he's tortured, he's never going to be able to repay that debt. The man being tortured, he can't work, he can't earn any merit. He can't gain anything positive. It's like taking a poor man who can't pay his debts and throwing him in prison until his debt can be paid. I never quite got the hang of this. I can't understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. This man owes you money, you put him in prison. How's that help? Put him to work. Let him do something positive. In prison, you just have to feed him. You have to heat the prison. He's costing you more. It's foolishness. And that's really how foolish we are when we're trying to exact justice from one another. When God hands us over to the devils, though, that's it. For all of eternity, we will suffer at the hands of the devils, being tormented by them. Never being able to gain the least merit, and the debt will never be paid. Hell is forever, and I think that's something that we can't really grasp or wrap our minds around either. What is this thing called eternity? What is forever? But I think our Lord wants us, as he directed St. Peter and the other apostles, look at your relationships with one another. How do we forgive one another? What justice do we demand from each other? We are very poor interpreters of justice concerning ourselves. Because all too often we remember our own hurt, but we never remember what the hurt that we've imposed upon someone else. And so we hold this person to an account that's not really all that just, all that clear. Seems the closer we are to the matter, the less accurate we are in understanding it and interpreting it. The only way we're actually going to understand where true justice is when we pull ourselves back from a distance and look at it objectively. And I'm not sure we can actually do this to perfection here in this life, but we can work on it. Definitely on the day of judgment, we'll be far enough distance and we'll see the truth. On that day of general judgment, and God will call everybody to account. Everything will be put out in the open, the scales will all be balanced, and we will see that God is just. But right now, this very moment, we're too close to our own pains. How can I forgive that insult? How can I forgive that cheat? How can I ever forgive that lie? And so we hold on to this debt, this pain, like stupid children, holding on to anger for what? You hold on to this anger that you have against your neighbor that hurt you 10, 20, 30 years ago, and you're not going to forgive him? Do you think your neighbor feels your pain? Do you think you hurt him by not talking to him? Do you think you've hurt your neighbor by holding all this anger and rage in your heart? The child that is envious and jealous only hurts himself. And the adult that holds on to this anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, whatever it is, they carry this demon in their hearts, and it often shows on their face. They're the most miserable people you ever want to meet. And I think we've all met them. We've seen them. Maybe we've been them ourselves. And they're just eating themselves up from within. because they cannot forgive. They say there's something within them, they just can't let it go. And I ask, what is that thing within them that they just can't let it go? What are they holding on to? What has this ever gotten them? It has only brought them misery, it's only brought them ulcers, a headache. And it's not getting any better, it just continually gets worse. But yet they still hold on to it as if this were their best friend, and they're not going to let it go. They're never going to forgive. Very much like we hear of the Jews in the Holocaust. Never forgive and never forget. Our Lord would condemn such an attitude. But yet I'm afraid that's not just the attitude of the Jews concerning the Holocaust, but that's the attitude of the majority of Christians. The majority of those who call themselves Catholics are holding some kind of grudge, some kind of anger. And they're only hurting themselves. They're only digging a deeper debt with God. What must we do? How do we let go? It's not easy. But our Lord never said it would be easy. But to me, the clearest, simplest method is to contemplate our Lord crucified. If we would think of Christ hanging there on the cross, you can ponder his 7 last words. How he thirsts for our souls, but I think the point will be best manifested to us. If we picture our Lord hanging there on the cross, the citizens, the Roman soldiers, the Jews mocking him, spitting at him, laughing at him. If you are God, come down from the cross. Prove it. Ha, look at him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Covered with this bloody sweat. The blood dripping from the thorns in his head. His whole body, one big bleeding bruise from the scourging. His hands and feet pierced with nails. And what does he say to all these people mocking him, laughing at him, spitting upon him? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I think if we would meditate on that scene, think of those words, we will find it easier within our hearts to forgive our enemies, to forgive those who have committed any kind of injustice against us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. As God, he sees into the souls of these people. They do not know what they're doing. They don't realize what they're doing to themselves. They are digging a pit for themselves. They can't hurt God. They can do all these things to his body only because he allows it. No one takes his life away from him. He freely laid it down for them and for us. And if you'll continue that simple meditation a little bit longer, it's not long before, in examining your conscience, you will see that we each and every one of us have been there mocking our Lord. We glory in the name of being Catholics, of being Christians, and how often have we been hypocrites because we have failed to live up to that name, to that glorious title. We call Christ our Lord, and yet when someone uses our Lord's name in vain, we never step up to his defense. Or perhaps we even give in to the blasphemies ourselves in anger and frustration. If we'll stop and think about it, we will find that we have been those ones at the bottom of that cross, not the Blessed Mother, the Holy Women, or St. John, but we have been among the rabble, the pagans, the non-believers, the ones insulting our Lord. And it was for us that he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what you're doing, what they're doing." Christ died for each one of us. As I think I mentioned one time here before, God has thought of us, you and me, while he was hanging there on the cross, 2,000 years ago. He thought of me. He thought of you. Not in some vague sense, but in specifically. He has thought of us from all of eternity. While he was hanging there on the cross, offering himself to his Heavenly Father, he was thinking of us and all our sins, that pierced his head with those thorns, that beat his back with those scourges, that drove those nails into his hands, that mocked him and spit upon him. And he prayed to his Heavenly Father for you and for me. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." This is the debt that we've incurred with God. And all he really wants from us is to come to him and say, "Look, I know I made this terrible debt, but please have mercy on me. Forgive me." And he's ready. "I forgive you the whole debt. I love you that much. The only condition that I place upon you is that you love each other as I have loved you. Forgive each other the way that I forgave you. Love each other the way that I have loved you. Can you not do that much? God, who has given everything for us, can you not let go of a little petty hurt?" And suppose you were a multimillionaire and somebody came and destroyed your whole company and took your whole life away and reduced you to poverty. I've met people like that. They were very bitter. "He's destroyed my whole life." I said to one man on the airplane, "He can only destroy this part of the life. You're destroying your eternity. That man can only hurt you here and now. But you holding on to this anger, this bitterness, this desire for revenge, you're destroying your eternal life." That's something that I think we should all consider. You know, I'm sure we haven't had great big businesses that somebody cheated us and destroyed and ruined our lives. But it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, let it go. I'll never forget one of the conferences Bishop Lewis gave me as a novice on poverty. It doesn't matter what material thing the Franciscan holds on to. Whatever he holds on to it is a weight that keeps him from soaring up to heaven. Our rule allows us to use all these things. We have a house, we have computers, we have cars, we have all these wonderful things to use. They're not ours. They've all belonged to God, but God is so generous, he gives us the use of them. What could be better? But the tragedy is, our fallen human nature wants to grab a hold of it and say, this is mine. And it doesn't matter if you tie a little bird to the earth with a 10-pound chain or a little thread. The effect is the same. It doesn't matter if a Franciscan's tied with a great big mansion to this earth or a tiny little ballpoint pen. He can pull out his ballpoint pen. If you are attached to this pen, you're still attached to material things. It's no different to be attached to this pen or to this mansion. You're attached to this earth and you cannot soar to heaven. And along those same lines, I think it was St. Ambrose, the bishop, he once beheld a little boy who had caught a bird, and he tied the little bird's foot with a thread, and he watched the little bird fly, and the little bird gets so far, and he pulled it back. And St. Ambrose watched with great attention this little bird going, and the boy would pull it back. And the bird would fly, and the boy would pull it back. And finally, the little bird broke the thread and went soaring off into the sky, and the little boy started to cry. And St. Ambrose began to laugh. And he said, that's exactly what the devil does to each one of us. The devil is that little boy with a thread. And as we try to reach up to God, to soar into heaven, he lets us go a little bit, and as soon as we think we're succeeding, he pulls us back. And even in the spiritual life, we do so well in our prayers for a little while, and we think we made a little progress. As soon as we get just about that high, the devil starts pulling us back down to the earth to remind us. He still got us. And it's not until we can cut not only the chains, but even the thread. We have to sever all the connections before we're going to be free from that devil. And the devil's not going to take it lightly. As the little boy cried, the devil's going to wail and howl. St. Jerome tells us that the devil's like a chained dog. He can bark and growl, and he looks really vicious. But as long as you don't go within the length of his chain, he can't hurt you, can he? And that's the way the devil is. He looks vicious, he looks mean, very dangerous. But he can't hurt you unless you go to him. Once you've broken that string, fly. Don't turn back. The man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. And don't think that the devil is going to be your friend. Or it's the devil that really suggests to us that we need to seek justice from each other, that we have to make each other pay. That's foolishness. Another piece of wisdom that Bishop Lewis gave us. He would tell us, if ever you need to loan money to somebody, and you have the money and you can loan it to them, so don't. Don't ever loan money. He says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your money and you're going to lose your friend. Your friend's going to be hating you forever now because he owes you money. He's not going to come, want to come and visit with you and have a cup of coffee because he's ashamed. He says, don't loan money. If you have the money, give it to him. And if he's later able to repay, leave that up to him. If he wants to return the money later on when he has it, that's fine, but don't expect and don't demand payment. If you can give it, give it. But don't loan. Don't expect to be repaid. And that way, you'll keep your friend, which is worth more than all that money. That way, you won't get ulcers, worrying about, you know, how am I going to get this money back? When you've given it, it's gone. You can let go of it. You're not attached to it. And I think this applies not just for the religious, but every one of us. We're called to be brothers, sisters. We're called to love one another as Christ has loved us. And I say, how can we love God whom we don't see if we cannot love our neighbor whom we do see? I look at many people and I think, well, there's not really much to love there. Some people make it really hard to love them. But then if we're reminded of our own debt, if we remind ourselves what Christ has prayed, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. These people who make themselves too hard for us to love, they don't realize what they're doing to themselves. And far from being angry with them, we should really have pity on them. The poor thing doesn't realize what they're doing to themselves. They don't realize how much they're hurting themselves. I'm reminded also of something that St. Paul said. Have I become your enemy because I try to do good to you? Because I love you? Is that why you hate me? Do not render evil for evil, but render good for evil. And by so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon their heads. Because the more good you do to them, and they repulse it, and they hate it, and turn away from you, the deeper in hell they're digging themselves. And that's not something that we should desire for them. It's just a fact of God's justice. And rather than help them dig this pit into hell, we should be praying for them. Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. I forgive them from the bottom of my heart. I don't know what more I can do, but help them, please. And if you look at all the saints, all the martyrs, every one of them had this attitude of love for their fellow man. The first martyr, Saint Stephen, was a deacon, was taken outside the city to be stoned. And Saul, who later became Saint Paul, was there consenting to this man's death. He held all the coats while everybody else threw the stones. St. Stephen looked up to heaven and he saw Christ there standing at the right hand of the Father. And he prays to God, lay not this charge against them. An identical prayer, you might say, is our Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And every biblical scholar tells us it was because of that prayer of St. Stephen that Saul received the grace to become Saint Paul. And if we would return good for evil, I think we can effect a similar change. if we really forgive from the bottom of our hearts, if we really love one another and pray that God would have mercy on each other, we can affect that change in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. But if we can think of no other reason, I will try and scare you. Because every time you recite the Our Father, you ask God to forgive you exactly in the measure that you've forgiven this one or that one. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. And if we're holding on to a grudge, if there's any hatred or animosity, envy, jealousy, rage within us, we're asking God to hold the same against us. If we're going to demand justice, He is going to demand justice from us. That's what we're asking Him. And I think if we really understood that, very few would ever want to say the Our Father. Unless they really, from the depths of their hearts, began to forgive one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.